Psalm 23, verse 4. David's in the valley of the shadow of death. We see that could represent life in general. It could be trials, but it could be many things. We've been looking at, I will fear no evil. And then he gives the reason, for thou art with me. And again, he's talking to the Lord. In verse 4, up to that point, he's been talking about the Lord. We, last week, began to look at fear. Fear, of course, is a very debilitating thing. The Lord has given us fear to, again, fear can be very beneficial. But many times, fear is detrimental. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power." So that shows that the spirit of fear does away with power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So fear affects, greatly affects one's perception, as we all know. Again, not having the spirit of fear, we have a sound mind. We began last week to look at all the places in the Word of God where God says, "Fear not," or "Be not afraid." And that phrase is repeated continually throughout the Word of God, mostly in the Old Testament, shows that it's a very needed thing, shows that it's something that we are very prone to, being afraid. But in every case, in the Word of God, God says, "Be not afraid," and then he gives us a reason why. And the reason is always in himself. And that's still true today. It's not, "Be not afraid because the economy is going to get better." Be not afraid because of the Lord. He's the reason. And he's what enables us to overcome fear. So we want to, again, we looked at several of these verses last week. Want to look at some more of them. And we'll see where we are time-wise and go on. But in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude." And again, there's just not a period there, but it continues on. He gives a reason. "For the battle is not yours, but God's." Oh, to learn that lesson. It's a lesson we have to learn almost on a daily basis. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. That doesn't mean that we don't have battles. What it means is that we can turn the battle over to him, follow his leadership in the battle. But be not afraid, because the battle is God's. In verse 17, he says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle." Now that's true sometimes. Sometimes we find ourselves in a battle and God says, "You don't need to do anything. I've got it all." Other times he says, "You know, you've got to fight this battle," but it's still the Lord's. "You shall not need fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord." So the basis here is the salvation of the Lord. The salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Again, that's the reason not to fear was the salvation of the Lord, the promise of God's deliverance. The Lord would be with them. In Isaiah chapter 35, and there's a lot of fear nots in Isaiah. Again, the kingdom of Judah is about to go into captivity. People were fearful. Isaiah 35, God instructs Isaiah. He says, "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not." And again, you can tell people all the time, be strong, don't be afraid. But you have to have a reason. Behold, there's the solution right there. Behold. Many times we're fearful because we behold the wrong things. We get our eyes on the battle. We get our eye on the enemy rather than God. I'm not saying we should completely neglect the presence of the enemy, but that can't be our focus. Behold, your God will come. That's why there didn't need to be a fearful heart. He'll come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. He will. Not just that he can, but you have to take that a step further and believe that he will. And that's what God says here. In Isaiah 41:10, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, and again, he uses this again, for I am with thee, the presence of God. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. It's personal. It's personal. I will strengthen thee. That's why we do not need to be afraid or dismayed. I will. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13. For I, the Lord God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I will help thee. I will help thee. You notice it's not fear not, for circumstances are going to get better. That's never the reason. The reason is God. Verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer. That shows the connection he has with us, the Holy One of Israel. In Isaiah 43 and verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. It's God's purpose. God has a purpose. God's our Redeemer. Fear not. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. He has redeemed us. He has called us. We're his. He's not going to leave us. And he says, fear not. Isaiah 43:5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed. Again, I will. I am and I will. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. The book of Jeremiah. Again, we're not looking at all of these. You can get a concordance and find more. But in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8, be not afraid, he's talking to Jeremiah, of their faces, for I am with thee. I'm with thee with for a purpose to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 42 And verse 11, Jeremiah 42, verse 11. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. Fear not, be not afraid, be not dismayed, for I am, for I will. You see, that's a continuous pattern. Two places in the New Testament. If we go to Matthew chapter 14, very familiar chapter. Isaiah 14, the disciples are in a storm, life-threatening storm. Jesus comes walking on the water, and in verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. And what that means is be of good courage. It is I. There's the reason. It is I. It is I. That's the reason to be of good cheer, and that's the reason for the next words, be not afraid. It is I. It is I. And how many times God comes to us and he speaks those words, it is I. And fear goes away. Dismay goes away. Again, the spirit of fear, God's given us, hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He's given us a sound mind. And it is a sound mind that can look to the Lord as a reason not to fear. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 17, when I saw him, that is John seeing Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am. Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, that is, concentrate on this. I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys, the authority of hell and death. So here in Psalm 23, David's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He says, I will fear no evil. Now anyone can, which tells us that there was evil all around him at this time. Dangers all around him. Anyone can make that statement. That doesn't make it true. Anyone can say, well, I'm not afraid. Or anyone can come and say, don't be afraid. There has to be a basis, and God is the basis. So David says from the valley, a place where a person would normally fear, the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It wasn't just knowing the presence of God. He was in fellowship with God because he's talking to him, for thou art with me. It's not just, I will fear no evil, for I know that God is with me. It's, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's talking to God. Staying in communion with God is an antidote against fear. And he goes on here in Psalm 23 and verse 4. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So in this valley of the shadow of death, there was the presence of God. There was the acknowledged presence of God. There was the realization of the presence of God. And what that did was take away fear. We find now that there's something else in this valley. And it's, again, all connected with the presence of the Lord. There was comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, it's not they have comforted me, that's true, but it is they comfort me. Again, thy rod and staff imply his presence. So this is, again, one of the results of the presence of God. There is comfort in God. God is a God of comfort to his people. You don't have to lie to someone to comfort them. You don't have to withhold truth to comfort them. They have any spirituality at all about them. All you have to do is present God. He's the basis of our comfort. Now, there are some people who, because of their spiritual condition, saved or lost, they can't really be comforted. Many saved people can't be comforted until they get right. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and there are people who refuse to be comforted. I've never been able to figure that out, but believe me, they're out there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and verse 4. Blessed be God. That is, it's a word of praise. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. There's comfort right there. He's merciful. That's comforting. And the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Comfort comes in a variety of forms. There's different kinds of comfort. But he's the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforteth us ongoing in all our tribulation. He always has a purpose in comforting us. It's not just to make us feel better, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We receive comfort from God, and because of the comfort we receive, we are able to comfort others. One does not have to go through the same experiences to be of comfort to another individual. One does have to go through the comfort of God. God comforts us, you and I, and now we being comforted, that is, we're still in the process of being comforted, we're able to comfort others. But God's comfort is more than sufficient for anything that the child of God might have to face. It's more than sufficient. And if a person, I've had it happen, you read a verse of Scripture to someone, says, I don't need Scripture. Well, yeah, you really do. And you've manifested it more by that statement. The comfort is to strengthen the mind. Again, we saw in 2 Timothy 1:7, the fear weakens our mind. We don't. If you're in a state of fear, you don't necessarily think right. So to comfort is to strengthen. It's to strengthen the mind. The mind has a lot to do with fear. The mind has a lot to do with discomfort. Our mind can, as we all know, can be a powerful enemy against us. The comfort is to give new vigor to the spirit. It's to relieve. It's not necessarily to take away. It's to provide relief. assistance, encouragement. That's what it means to comfort. And God is the God of all comfort. Comfort, just like courage, finds its root in the person of God, who God is. That's the basis of comfort. That's why it is hard. It is hard to comfort someone. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it is difficult to comfort someone who is lost. Because I know for a fact that the best source of comfort is God. And they don't know God. So even when they're lost, I still think the best thing to do is tell them of God. There's comfort. The comfort of God speaks to the fact that God is a God of comfort, speaks of the fact that He's a God of love. He's a God of love. He's a God of tenderness. He's compassionate. And He's a God of comfort. And the exercise of these, that is, His love, His tenderness, His compassion, are personal. They're continuous, and they're always available. And that's comforting to us. We ought to try to comfort one another. We ought to try to comfort others. But again, you must realize that you can only give very limited comfort. Very limited. Very short term. You can say a word and someone feel better for a while. And that's comfort. It's better than nothing. Only God can bring the comfort that a soul needs. And you and I that know of His mercy, His grace, His long-suffering, His love, we know something of His person. And if we're close to God, He's in our life, and we're in fellowship with God, there's comfort. You know, there's times people need, I mean, the situation is dire, they need desperate comfort. But they can't get it right away because they have a mountain of sin in their life. They got to take care of that first. And that's the problem many times. People say, well, I tried that. It didn't work. Well, it's because you're not in a condition. The best thing to do is to stay in so close to God that when that dire situation comes, we can just say, help, Lord. And we've been talking to Him up to that point. We just continue. A horrible thing to be out of fellowship with God for a long period of time. And all of a sudden, God brings it to your attention. You're in desperate need of Him. Well, now you got to go find Him because of broken fellowship with God. It's just much easier to just stay in fellowship with the Lord. Many times people just need to be told. You need to just get right. There's not a whole lot I can do for you. There's not a whole lot I can say here other than you just need to get right. And then you can talk to the Lord. And He can help you. But isn't it wonderful that we don't have to be afraid? And the basis of that is not because we believe that so-and-so is going to be elected president or whatever, or the economy is looking up. If that's your basis, you're on a roller coaster ride. That's not our basis. God is our basis. And God is our basis of courage. God is our basis of not being of comfort as well. So we'll look at this comfort here next week. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the songs we've been able to sing today. We thank you for the devotional. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We again thank you, Lord, for this 23rd Psalm, and we just pray that you would help us to live there, that it might be our life. We just pray that you draw each one of us closer to thee. Cause us, Lord, to be more like thee. Help us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.